Tribes, chapter 20. As soon as he walked in the door, he knew something wasn't right. The silence, as if everyone had been waiting for him to come in. "Hello, is anybody home?" he shouted. His dad appeared from the living room. "Oh, we're here all right," he said ominously. "You come in here, boy." Oh dear, that was not the friendliest of tones. Glory, he thought at once. She'd messed it up again. His mum and dad were sitting side by side on the sofa, not a smile on their faces. "And where have you been?" What was the point of telling them he'd been at a football practice? They evidently knew he hadn't. He shrugged his shoulders. His dad got to his feet and began pacing the room. "Kevin, what's happening to you? Giving Glory a letter? A forged letter?" So Glory had messed it up right enough. "You forged my name." Kevin almost smiled. He'd thought he'd done that rather well. His dad was not amused. "This is no laughing matter. You didn't go to school today. You lied." Again, Kevin shrugged. "I took a day off school. Boys do it all the time. It's not a big deal." Now his mum jumped to her feet. "Not a big deal? You lied to us. A teacher phones to ask how you are, and I don't have a clue what she's talking about. We've always been able to trust you, Kevin. You've changed since you joined that tribe. I knew you would. How often have I told you, don't be a sheep, be a..." "Oh, don't give me any more of your daft sayings, Dad." His dad's face fell. He was really hurt. For an instant, Kevin felt guilty, but only for an instant. "I took a day off school. You two are going on as if I robbed the Bank of England. I'm fed up with this." He made a move to leave the room. His dad pulled him back. "You'll leave this room when I tell you, not before." "You are grounded, Kevin." Even as his mother said it, Kevin thought, "I'd like to see you try." He could lay bets that neither Dot nor Tori was getting this amount of hassle for a day off school. "Ground me then," he shouted at them. "See if I care." But he wouldn't let them, he thought. If he had to climb out of a window, he'd be out with the tribe. He stormed out of the room, and this time his dad did nothing to stop him. Glory was waiting in his bedroom for him. She was almost in tears. "I've been grounded too, I hope you know." "Good," he snapped at her. "You deserve it. I might have known not to trust you." "It was your fault. You told me to give the teacher the note and say nothing." "Well, I didn't say anything. Not really." He threw himself down on the bed. "What do you mean, not really?" "She asked what was wrong with you and I said I didn't know. That didn't sound very believable, so I just added a bit." Here it comes, he thought. Glory's bit that had ruined a perfect day. Glory went on. "I just said Mum and Dad wouldn't tell me what was wrong with you. They wouldn't even let me in to see you. I said that I thought maybe it was infectious." She was warming to her story. "And she asked if they got the doctor in, so I had to say yes. He'd come in the middle of the night and he was coming in again to see if your temperature had gone down." He could have screamed at her. A note explaining a summer cold had become a typhoid epidemic in her hands. She was so worried about you, she phoned home. What was the point of blaming her? Glory was Glory. He'd been a fool to trust her with such a mission. It was his own fault, really. And Glory, being Glory, suddenly changed her mood and beamed a big, enthusiastic smile at him. "Did you have a good day?" she asked. And to his surprise, after everything that had happened, he told her all about it. It had been so special, so good, he wanted to share it with somebody. All except what happened at Salam's house. Somehow, he thought Salam wouldn't want him to share that with anybody. Glory listened with rapt attention. "Oh, Kev, I so want to be one of the tribe." "Not that again. No way, Glory. You can spend one night with us, although you don't even deserve that after what's happened, and that's all." But somehow Glory's fate seemed to be tied up with the tribe. It was a few days later and Kevin and Doc, Tori and Salam were lounging about in the mall. He'd ignored being grounded and that had caused even more problems at home. It was less hassle staying out with the tribe. Suddenly Tommy came running towards them. Tommy. Kevin hadn't seen him in a long time. Now at school they passed each other in the corridors with only a hello. His face was red and he was breathing hard as he raced in their direction. He looked as if he was almost ready to panic. Kevin jumped to his feet. "Tommy, what's the matter?" Tommy stopped right in front of him, ignoring the rest of them. He could hardly get the words out. It's Glory, he said breathlessly. "We came out of band practice together, and then I thought she went off home, but I've just seen her. She's being chased by McAfee and the rebels." Glory was still grounded, but on band practice night she was on a curfew. Salam was on his feet in an instant. "Where?" he shouted. "Looked as if she was heading for the old pier." "Glory run there. There was no escape from the pier, only the dark, cold river. Trust Glory." "Come on!" Salam yelled, and they all broke into a run behind him, Tommy too. It was then that Salam stopped and turned. No, not you. The tribe will take care of this. It's our fight. His eyes moved to Kevin, waiting for him to back him up. Tommy looked at Kevin too. He was puzzled and hurt. I want to help, Kev. It was the cruelest thing Kevin had ever done. He couldn't even understand why he did it. Thanks for letting us know, Tommy, he said, but we'll handle it now. He glanced at Salam, and there was a strange, satisfied smile on his face. What's happened to you, Kev? Tommy called after him. You've changed. You've really changed. Later, he would think of those words, but not now. Now all he could think about was glory. Was this McAfee's revenge on Kevin? If anything happened to that daft sister of his because of what he'd done, he'd never forgive himself. His fear made him run faster, till he passed even Salam and was leading them through the mall and down towards the river. Please, he prayed, don't let anything have happened to her. Please, let us be on time.